Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick Warren's Daily Hope. Now we're going to continue our series today called Building My Life on Values That Last. And Rick will press on and show us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. All right, let's join Rick as he shares the final part of a message called Choosing My Standard.
The Bible teaches that as believers, as Christians, we are to be tolerant. We should never treat people like animals or less than human. Even the worst criminal or the worst person that has the most immoral lifestyle, we're to treat them with love and dignity. Jesus did. Jesus accepted people without approving of their lifestyle. He didn't say, oh, do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. It did matter, but he did treat them with dignity. And so we're called to be tolerant in that way. But tolerance doesn't mean that anymore. Tolerance now means that every idea is equally valid, that every idea is equally true, that every lifestyle is equally right. And that is not right. That is false. It is not true that every lifestyle is equally valid. It is not true that every idea or thought or belief is equally true. Because truth is narrow. Now, this idea of, well, all ideas are equally valid and they're all the truth, even when they contradict each other. The ultimate expression of that, the extreme expression of that, is called political correctness. And I know you're familiar with that one. God has something to say about this kind of nonsense. Ephesians chapter 4. He says, they are hopelessly confused. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God. And they don't care anymore about right and wrong. He says, they just don't care. See, some people are so open-minded, their brains fall out. Okay. And some open minds need to be honestly closed for repair. They're not even thinking. God, Moses said to Pharaoh, let my people go. I think Moses would say today, let my people think. Use your brain. And don't be conned by these pseudo-philosophies that lead to a dead end. Now that's the cause. That's why there's all of the crime going up and the illegitimacies and the teen pregnancies and all that kind of stuff. So what's the cost? What is the cost of not having any standards, not having any values, and not even agreeing on what's true, right, and wrong? Well, the answer is, on the back, our cost is our culture is collapsing. Our culture is collapsing. And it is amazing to me that the people that are noticing this are not religious people, but the secular press. Just look at some of these magazine covers I'm going to hold up here. And these cover articles, they put this stuff on the cover because it sells. And every one of these are moral issues. Notice, the first one here is on Time Magazine. Lying. Everybody's doing it. Honest. Here's one. Violence goes mainstream. Here's one on the business of pornography. America is now by far the world's leading producer of pornography over every other nation. Suicide. Why do people kill themselves? Here's one on sexual desires, the new view of what's normal. Oh, I can't wait to read that one. Divorce. In fact, not only divorce now, mom, I want a divorce. Kids divorcing their parents. We have children in crisis, the struggle to save America's soul, how our kids are being robbed of their childhood, growing up scared, busybodies and crybabies. What's happening to the American character? Good question. And the answer to that is this magazine cover, the generation that forgot God. That's what happened. And all of a sudden, with no God, there is no truth. Now, as a result of that, we have a collapsing culture. Let me read you some statistics. In the next 30 minutes, 228 children will be beaten, molested, and otherwise abused. 30 minutes. In the next 30 minutes, 57 kids will run away from home, and 3 out of 4 of those girls will end up selling sex to survive. In the next 30 minutes, 20 children will attempt suicide. 285 children will become victims of a broken home in the next 30 minutes. Today in America, adult bookstores outnumber McDonald's 3-1. Every day in America, 14 children and youth are murdered. 326 children are arrested for alcohol offenses. Every day, 359 children are arrested for drug offenses. Every day, 3,356 high school students drop out of school every day. Every day, 3,533 babies are born to unwed mothers. Every day, 6,042 children are arrested. Every day, 13,076 public school students are suspended from school. By the way, every day, 135,000 children pack guns or knives to school. America is now not just the leading producer of pornography, but we lead every other nation by a far margin of the number of citizens we have incarcerated. We have more people in jail in America than any other country. And I could go on and on about that. That's the cost. Look at this verse, Proverbs 29:18. Where there is ignorance of God, crime runs wild. And we're seeing that today. Why is there so much crime and breakdown and guns and violence and gang warfare and all of this? And people are afraid to, you know, go out of their homes. Why is that happening? Because of an ignorance of God. Now follow me on this. If there is no God, then there is no standard of truth. And if there is no standard, anything goes. If I want to come burn down your house, I can. Because there is no objective standard. It may be right for me to burn down your house. Maybe wrong for you, but it's right for me. How many of you have ever played Scrabble? Can I see your hands? Okay. Let's say you invite me over for Scrabble. And we sit down, and we're playing this game, and all of a sudden I come up with a word, and it's Snickelfritzer. And you say, that's no word. Come on. Warren, what are you trying to do? I said, it's a word to me. That's no word. It's a word to me, and it gets 57 points. Because it uses the Z. And you say, no, no, that's not a word. Well, you know what? At that point, what you have to do is you have to go to an objective authority called Webster's Unabridged Dictionary of the English Language. And that is an objective truth. And you look it up. And if Snickelfritzer is in that dictionary, I don't care what you think, I get the points. On the other hand, if it's not in that dictionary, it doesn't matter what I think, even if I don't like it, it's not true, and I don't get the points. Now, this book, God's Word, the Bible, tells the truth. There's a lot of it in this book that I don't understand. There's a lot of it in this book that I don't like to read. There's a lot of it in this book that doesn't necessarily make sense to me. There's a lot that is not easy to do, but I want to tell you one thing. It is the truth because it came from God. It is the truth. And if you say something contrary to this, guess who's wrong? Our culture is collapsing. I actually had a guy tell me one time, and I've heard this many times, you know, Rick, I have to be unethical at work because I have to survive and everybody else is unethical, so I have to do it too. Now listen, the moment that attitude becomes dominant in our society, we're doomed. It's over. Because every culture has collapsed when the people move to the, I got to do whatever it takes, when survival becomes more important than truth. And today, folks, what we're seeing is the witnessing of the flip-flopping of values. And what used to be called right is now being called wrong. And what used to be called wrong is now being called right. And what used to be called perverted is now being called sophisticated. And we're flip-flopping all of the values. What we do is we're turning criminals into celebrities. We put them in jail and then pay them big bucks to get movie rights and go watch their perverted life as entertainment. Hello. What's wrong with this picture? And today in our society, we have pornographers who their own daughters are calling them incestuous, being nominated for Academy Awards and Oscars on one hand, while on the other hand, when a first grade boy kisses a little girl, he's hauled in for sexual harassment. Honoring one and destroying another. What's going on here? And while we kill millions of unborn babies and the elderly every day and don't think anything about it, we're avidly protesting the protection of insects and parasites. And on one hand, marriage is called out of date, confining, medieval age, servility for women, and you don't need it. And look what God has to say about it. In Isaiah 5:20, he says, destruction is certain for those who say evil is good and good is evil. That dark is light and light is dark. God is not mocked. And he says, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And today, what we're seeing happening in the decaying of our culture is we are reaping what we have sowed for the last 40 years. Proverbs 29:18 in the Good News translation says, a nation without God's guidance is a nation without order. It's chaos. Now, our nation was founded on the two presuppositions, that God is in heaven, our rights are endowed by our Creator, and that we are to follow basic moral laws that He has laid out. And that's the cornerstone of our society. I once read a study of 15,000 documents of the founding fathers of our nation, letters, articles, documents, and discovered that 34% of the quotes of all the founding fathers of our nation were directly from the Bible. 34%. And you probably may have never even heard of this, but the United States House of Representatives, in consent with the Senate, passed a resolution saying, it's gone far enough. We believe that the Ten Commandments should be posted publicly anywhere, including any government building, office, and courthouse. Now, House Concurrent Resolution 31. Whereas the Ten Commandments have had a significant impact on the development of the fundamental legal principles of Western civilization, and whereas the Ten Commandments set forth a code of moral conduct, observance of which is universally acknowledged to promote respect for our system of laws and the good of society, now therefore be it resolved by the House of Representatives, the Senate concurring, that it is the sense of Congress that, one, the Ten Commandments are a declaration of fundamental principles that are the cornerstone of a fair and just society, and two, the public display, including display in government offices and courthouses of the Ten Commandments, should be permitted, passed by the House of Representatives March 5, 1997, attested by Robin Carlyle, clerk. Now, here's what I want to say about this. Even if the founding fathers of America had not believed in God, believed in God's word, and believed in there are moral rights and wrongs, God's truth would still be true. Because it's not dependent upon public opinion. Now, the question is, as we go into this series, not how can I change society, but how can I live a life of value in a world that can't even decide what's right and wrong? And how can I raise children with basic lasting values in a world where teachers can't teach basic right and wrong because of relativity, secularism, and individualism? And how do I build my business on values in a world when everybody else is in a dog-eat-dog, cutthroat world? What do I do? Notice what the Bible says. Psalms 11:3 in the God's Word translation. When the foundations of life are undermined, what can good people do? And here's the cure. The cure is rebuild the foundation. Rebuild the foundation of your life, of your business, of your family. And that means start at the beginning with God. Why? Because God is truth. What makes something wrong? Not because we say it's wrong, but because it's anti-God. It's anti His character. God is honest. So when we're dishonest, it's wrong. God is faithful. So when we're unfaithful, it's wrong. God is just. So when we're not fair, it's wrong. When we are different than the character of the Creator who made us, it's wrong. When we are like the character of the Creator who made us, it's right. Does that make sense? That's how you decide what truth is. Proverbs 2:9. God, circle that. God shows us how to distinguish right from wrong. How to find, not some poll or anything else. How to find the right decision every time. Now, I know that there are many schools and things that are trying to teach values without God. Listen, it is morality without God is impossible. I didn't say that. Abraham Lincoln did. And a moral government without God is impossible. I didn't say that. George Washington did. Check it out. Check the quotes out. 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's read this together. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. Now, I want you to circle the three things the Bible teaches, it says. It teaches what is true, it teaches what is wrong, and it teaches what is right. If God says it, it's absolutely true. Whether I understand it, whether I agree with it, whether I like it or not, it's true because it came from God. Now, you say, Rick, how do I know when something's truth and when it's just an opinion? Well, let me give you two characteristics. You write these down. How do you know when something's truth and not just an opinion? Number one, truth is universal. It's universal. If it is true, it applies to everyone, everywhere, around the world, in every culture. If it does not apply to everyone, everywhere, it's not truth, it's an opinion. Because truth is universal. Number two, truth is unchanging. It's always the same. It doesn't change. It isn't impressed by fads or fashion. It is unchanging. For instance, if adultery was wrong 4,000 years ago, it was also wrong 2,000 years ago. It is wrong today, and it will be wrong 2,000 years from today, no matter what anybody else says. Because truth is unchanging. And it's universal. Now, facts change, but truth doesn't. For instance, 25 years ago, science used to tell us the smallest particle of life is the atom. That's the truth. Well, the fact is, since then, we've discovered five layers beneath that, quarks and all these other things, subatomic particles. And so, that's not true. It was a fact, but it wasn't true. And now we know they're even smaller things. So when something changed, it was a fact that with more discovery, we learned, well, that wasn't really correct. Now, what's the benefit of building my life on absolute, universal, unchanging truth? Look at these benefits. Psalm 119, God's word is a flashlight to light the path ahead of me and keep me from stumbling. He says, if I build it on unchanging truth, I won't stumble so much. I won't make so many mistakes. And then Proverbs 16 is a promise. Remember last week I said there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible? Here's another one of them. Those who listen to God's instruction will prosper, and those who trust the Lord will be happy, prosperous and happy, and keep from stumbling. So what's the bottom line? Well, it all comes down to a choice. Newsweek understood this when it did this cover. Whose justice, whose morality, whose community, whose family, whose values? Whose values? That's the issue. Whose values are you going to choose to live by? Now, when you think about it, what's going to be my standard by which I make my decisions in life? You only have three choices: an internal source, an external source, or an eternal source. I can say my values are going to be based on me, because I know so much. I am the ultimate arbiter of truth, and I choose what's right and what's wrong, and I decide what's true and what's false. And so I will choose my values based on me. What I think is works, pragmatic, what I think is easy and convenient, and I am my own choice for choosing the standard. I am my own standard for life. Or you could say, I choose external standard. I'm going to look at what the world does. I'm going to go with the crowd. What's most popular? What's the current fad? And I'm going to choose that whatever the world says is right and wrong, that will be my standard too, realizing that in a few years that's going to change because fads and things change. But I'm going to just do whatever everybody else does. They're my standard. Or three, you say, my choice is God, because his truth is absolute, universal, and unchanging. So as we start this series, you got to settle this issue before we do anything else. I want you to write down there, my standard will be, and I want you to put one of three things. If you're going to say, I am my own standard for life, have the courage to put it down. Me. I'm my own God, and I'm choosing to make up my own standards on what I think's right. Or two, I'm going to let the world determine my standards and what's right and wrong, and I'm going to listen to, you know, the talk shows, and whatever the poll says, that's how I know what's right. Or I'm going to let God be my standard. Write down G-O-D. Now, let me just be honest with you. If you picked me, myself, as the standard, you don't need to come back for the next 10 weeks. Because frankly, we're not interested in what you think is right and wrong. We're not even interested in what this pastor, what I think is right and wrong. What I'm interested in is, what does God say is right, and what does God say is wrong? Because that's what counts. And as I said, there's a lot in this book I don't understand, and it's not easy to follow. But it's true. And if I do it, my life will be blessed. Now, this week, in this introduction to the series, part one starts next week. Then this week, we've looked at the problems and we've looked at the causes of those problems. And this is all the negative you're going to hear now for the next 10 weeks, because we're going to look at the solutions next 10 weeks, a character value quality each week. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful that you always tell the truth. You don't jive us. You don't blow smoke. You tell us just exactly as it is. And it's not always easy to hear, but it's always the truth. And may today we be people who say, my standard for deciding right, wrong, and truth is God, not public opinion, and not even what I feel is right, or what I want to be right, or what I think is right, or what's convenient, but what you say is truth. Help us to build lives on values and characters that last. In your name, amen.
Wow, some powerful words from Pastor Rick today. And now this is really one of my favorite parts of the broadcast. This is letters from our listeners. And now here's Rick.
I want to take a minute and tell you how important your support is to Daily Hope. Your generosity, when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping us take the message of Jesus Christ literally all around the world in the many places where there aren't missionaries or churches. These are called unreached tribes. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the refugee crisis around the world. Literally, millions of people have been displaced from their homes, particularly in the Middle East and in North Africa, because of civil wars and violence. One of those places is South Sudan, where over 200,000 people are living in refugee camps. Now, when people are under tension and in transition, they are more open to the gospel than at any other time. These people who are living in refugee camps right now need the hope of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Now, when you help Daily Hope Radio and Daily Hope Broadcast, we're not only broadcasting across America, but in places like South Sudan, where the station airs our program three times a day. And we are told that many, many people are coming to Christ in this war zone as they listen to these Daily Hope broadcasts. So thanks. Thanks to you. Now, let me just read you one testimony that we've received. Here's a note from a woman who's living in a refugee camp there in South Sudan. She said, my name is Joyce, and I'm from the Central Equatorial State in South Sudan. I lost all five of my children and my beloved husband. This is in the civil war that was going on there, as well as our family possessions during the recent fighting in the capital of Juba. She said, I had planned to commit suicide. There's somebody who needs hope. When I listened to Rick Warren's broadcast, the one called When You Feel Like Giving Up, I got inspired and I dropped the idea of taking my life that very night. And I'll continue to pray God to bless this great preacher. And thank you for giving me hope. Joyce, we're happy to do that. And I want to say it's because of the listeners who are giving faithfully every month to Daily Hope. Do you realize that when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping reach people like Joyce? She was going to commit suicide in a refugee camp. Now, isn't God amazing how when you just give what you can give, God takes it and he multiplies it, and we reach out to people that none of us could reach on our own. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for Joyce, and today I want you to pray for all of the people who are in refugee camps, and pray that we'll be able to continue to broadcast on these stations, taking the good news of Jesus Christ and hope to people who need it the most desperately. It's your sacrificial giving. It's your prayer support that makes this possible. So thank you for whatever you can do, and God bless you, my friends.
If you're feeling like, yeah, I'd like to help support Pastor Rick in this ministry with a financial gift, I've got some great news to share with you today. We have generous friends of Daily Hope, and they've offered a $50,000 matching grant. Now, that means whatever amount you give to help share the hope of Jesus worldwide is going to be matched up to $50,000. But you only have until midnight on June 30th to make your gift go twice as far. So please go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.